Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. If we left you down, dejected, depressed over the weekend, because we really had to kind of make up a good martini on Friday, that a story that would have been bad wasn't true. Now we've got a double shot of good news for you today, and it all deals with how Republicans are approaching our economic woes. You probably know that we're headed towards a potential government shutdown March 18th if nothing passes. But the good news on that front, Jim, of course, is that even Democrats, once again, are apparently okay with cutting $6 billion over the next 3 weeks, even though they weren't okay with cutting $6 billion over the rest of the fiscal year. But they are apparently ready to go along with that. In addition, Mitch Daniels on Meet the Press saying that the upcoming debt ceiling vote in the next month and a half to 2 months here could be a very good time to demand some very serious changes. Not exactly using Rahm Emanuel's language of using a crisis to your advantage, but here we go.
But I definitely think in the really critical fiscal corner we've painted ourselves into, it's entirely appropriate to use that moment to surface these issues, and I hope for some leverage to get some real change, not just cosmetic.
The difference is, I think, Jim, is that he and others would actually be using the crisis for good. So I guess that's why we could be our good martini.
Greg, you and I have gone back on this before. I'm pretty convinced that the Rahm Emanuel slogan really is never solve a crisis. I do that just based on how Obama governed the first 2 years.
Right.
You know, I think that what's encouraging about these news items, and I just add one little late-breaking item just coming across my Twitter feed, Marco Rubio says he will oppose the continuing resolution. He's tired of this every 2 week, every 3 week process. He wants to see serious action on reducing the deficit and debt now, which I think only strengthens the leverage of McConnell when he can point to these freshman, you know, Republicans and now in both chambers who are saying, come on, we're elected to do something on this. The president being AWOL doesn't excuse me. We get to be AWOL as well. We have to deal with this issue. We are fresh out of later to address it. I think it's a good sign. I think it shows that Republicans aren't going to be they know that they have a difficult task in front of them. I think, you know, the fight in Wisconsin kind of illustrated people don't like seeing the government doing less and giving them less and spending less, or at least the people who are beneficiaries of those programs. Unfortunately, it has to be done. And it's almost a – I'm going to say, you know, it's not quite inspiring, but it's one of those things where it's, you know, once more to the breach, dear brothers. Do we charge in knowing that there's, you know, the chances of political success are not that fantastic? This is not an easy message to sell. This is not a cheery message to sell, but it is a necessary message to sell. And I think the Republicans, it's reassuring to see that no one's knees have buckled yet, Greg, yet.
Good for Mitch Daniels. It seems like he's redeeming himself after those early comments on collective bargaining.
Well, the social conservatives still won't be happy with him, but it's nice to see a little bit of gutsiness in terms of fiscal conservative discussions. So.
Exactly right. On to the bad martini now, and we had a little bit of a conundrum about what to do here because it looks like NATO, Jim, is going to consider a no-fly zone just in time for it to be completely irrelevant because Gaddafi's really slamming the rebels right now. But that has actually been trumped by the reaction to the nuclear crisis in Japan following the earthquake and tsunami. You got Joe Lieberman, chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, on Face the Nation over the weekend, offering this as a result of how America should respond to what we see in Japan.
We're watching something unfold, and we don't know where it's going with regard to the nuclear power plants in Japan right now. And I think it calls on us here in the U.S. naturally not to stop building nuclear power plants, but to put the brakes on right now until we understand the ramifications of what's happened in Japan.
Well, considering we haven't built a nuclear power plant in well over 30 years, putting the brakes on our rapid progress there, Senator Lieberman, would seem to be pretty much putting us in park, not just putting us on the brakes. And after you know, the administration basically declared war on energy exploration in the Gulf of Mexico after the BP disaster, now it looks like they're going after nuclear power, both of which Obama endorsed shortly before these incidents happened. It looks like they're basically putting both hands and now a leg behind our back when it comes to domestic energy production.
Greg, when I hear Joe Lieberman say, I don't want to stop, I just want to hit the brakes, it makes me never want to be in a car with Joe Lieberman. Because I'm beginning to understand, maybe he doesn't understand what the brakes do and all that stuff. Or maybe he gets into a car and he thinks that it's moving because he thinks that, you know, if you hit the brakes, it slows down. Anyway, you can understand we're watching something horrible going on in Japan. We're hoping that it's not going to end up in a terrible amount of released radiation. I know at one point last night they were telling people to go indoors. It's absolutely horrible. You understand why people have this gut level emotional reaction of, oh my goodness, are these things safe? On the other hand, thankfully, 9.0 or 8.9 earthquakes are pretty darn rare, and most of the United States is not in terribly severe earthquake risk. The exception there being kind of California, some part of the middle of the Mississippi River. And so obviously, you know, if you're going to build a nuclear plant in those areas, you build it carefully. You build it with the expectation that the ground underneath it could end up shaking quite a great deal. So there's a part of me that looks at this and says, okay, this is Lieberman just playing to the crowd. Then anybody who comes out and says, no, this is absolutely no reason to rethink things, this is no reason to pause things, will inevitably be painted as, you know, pro-meltdown, pro-earthquake, pro-shoddy construction, pro-radiation. And my guess is that probably at some point in the not-too-distant future, AMC or somebody will be having nonstop running of Jane Fonda movies, the China Syndrome, et cetera, everything they possibly can to freak Americans out about this, because we can't explore forms of energy that Jane Fonda made scary movies about. That's why we've never explored any of the ideas for energy production in Barbarella. I'll let others fill in the blanks there. Anyway, the bottom line being that, you know, this is a little bit of playing for the cameras and a little bit of a gut level reaction. If this really turns into a serious effort to derail nuclear power, having gotten that tiny, you know, molecules of momentum you can get there. You know, when we talk about, you know, putting on the brakes, basically we took the parking brake off is all we've done. It's not like we've suddenly, you know, we've got three reactors ready to go somewhere in the United States. You know, there's a little bit of common sense here. You know, the companies that build nuclear reactors, the states that need them, the customers, nobody wants to build them on fault lines. No one wants to build them in circumstances where they're going to have, you know, suffer natural disasters. I'm sure experts will probably debate about just how much precaution is necessary, but let's just do this carefully. Let's just do this with the appropriate due diligence and caution, and we should be just fine. As usual, remember which side is pro-science and which side is engaging in scaremongering, and probably there'll be some sort of new Hollywood movie coming out about a nuclear reactor meltdown in American soil, and, you know, if not giant lizards coming and getting us, giant snail darters or spotted owls coming and devouring people.
I guess so. You mentioned patience and due diligence a moment ago, Jim. Those would not be adjectives apparently to describe P.J. Crowley, who has just stepped down as the State Department spokesman. And it wasn't over Obama's dithering on Libya or his policy of apologetics around the world or, his position on the START Treaty. No. The Defense Department has been ridiculous and stupid in their handling of Private Bradley Manning, perhaps the person responsible for the most intelligence leaks any time in recent memory. If you're going to die on a hill and have to give up your job, that's probably not the smart one to give it up on.
You know, it's kind of fascinating to watch P.J. Crowley, who, you know, not the most prominent figure in the administration, usually coming out and making these mealy-mouthed, utterly content-free statements about international affairs from the State Department. Usually, we see the footage of the terrible, terrible assaults on protesters in the Middle East, and we declare that this is bad. You know, that generally this guy is not known for saying, you know, terribly controversial opinions. And as you know, Bradley Manning is where he wants to draw the line. It's a little bit surprising and baffling. I would note that in addition to this weekend, he also sent out a tweet comparing the tsunami of Japan to the tsunami of change going through the Middle East. And I think a lot of people just cringed and couldn't believe that this man is technically a public relations professional at taxpayer expense. Clearly, we will hire only the best and the brightest over there. My only thought is that maybe he's auditioning for a job advertising with Kenneth Cole, because he, too, you know, that company too had sent out tasteless Twitter remarks about the protests in Egypt. You know, I looking around the conservative blogosphere last night when I was putting together the morning jolt, not many folks are eager to see him. I know some folks who work in the State Department who I consider to be, I think very highly of. They're good folks. They love their country. They love representing their country overseas. When a guy like Crowley goes off and makes comments like these, or appears to be very sympathetic to a terrible, terrible security leak, it lends suspicion that the State Department is full of people who have vehemently anti-American views. And that has not been my experience in my dealings with State Department folks. But every time a Crowley crops up, people come to that conclusion. And I think that, you know, it's good to see that he's dismissed. I'm a little bit frustrated that if he'd ever expressed these kind of views within the building, that nobody ever, you know, was there anyone around to ever rebuke him to say, hey, you know, Manning's not such a swell guy, or hey, you know, he made the jobs of everybody in this building a heck of a lot harder by leaking all this stuff. I mean, the idea that a State Department official wasn't upset about a guy who leaked every possible State Department cable is pretty mind-boggling. But again, you know, I guess kind of tells you everything you need to know about the mentality of P.J. Crowley and the mentality of administration that would employ him for 2+ years.
Yeah, pretty crazy, pretty bizarre, and that's why he's our third martini today. Jim, good start to the week. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's cheerier than last week, but not the highest bar to clear, Greg.
You got to start somewhere. Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us tomorrow for the next Three Martini Lunch.